In this day and age, it is a treasure to have peace. I was just talking to our seventh grader. I heard the mothers who have already gone through that. They go, oh. And it is a new season for me as a mother. They are different. I don't know what happened. Mommy knew everything. Now mommy knows some things. At one point, I'm sure it's going to get to mommy knows nothing. And I'm all right with that. I'm good, right? I'm a bond slave of Jesus. You could talk about me. I'll take it. Right? I do want to thank the women here at Calvary Chapel Artesia for having me. I think I'm the only speaker that doesn't go to church here, so let me, but I am a part of this church, right? Stephanie, yes. Through you. Stephanie and I were freshmen in college together. Yes, she was a good student. I'm not talking about what kind of student I was then. But my husband is a pastor of Lifted Fellowship in Wilmington, so we are in the hood, and that's all right, because my husband and I are from the hood, and we are, I'm actually also a principal with the Los Angeles Unified School District in East LA, so that's another hood that I'm a part of, and I love it. At work, my name is Dr. Fatai, boss, we need you to sign this, approve payroll, we need this, that, and the other. At home, I'm like, Mom, where are my socks, have you seen my shoes? I forgot my backpack, you know, this kind of thing. Honey, I need my shirt. Sunday, this kind of thing. Then at church, I don't know if I have a name at church. I've been called his wife, the pastor's wife. And I said, you could call me Diana. Diana's my name. If you go on my Facebook, my brothers will say Yana. One of my brothers says Nana. It just, you know, don't you love all the different endearing names that you have? And here at Artesia, I just feel like I just have met so many sisters. And that we're sisters in the Lord co-laboring. I remember I hadn't seen Stephanie for, I don't know, 25. As my kids would say, it's been a minute, right? Yeah. And then we were at this retreat, and there's only one reason why you would be at that retreat is if you are married and your husband is in ministry or a pastor. We did not leave as Christians. We were not. Yeah, we weren't praising the Lord. We were believers, yes. And when I saw her at that retreat, it was the last meal at the Pastor's Wives Retreat at Murrieta. And I looked up and I said, oh, I looked at her, I go, wow, look what God has done to us. Talk about a storm calmed. Yes, so God has done an amazing thing. So when you talk about the transformation of a mind, yes, God does that amazing. And I'm so excited about this message. At Lifted, we have this thing called the Stand and Read. Our Lifted kids actually implemented it, and the grown-ups do it in our service. So what I'm going to do is, this will be section one here, okay? And then this middle section, y'all going to be loud. This, you're going to be section two, and then you'll be section three here. So if you take a look at the handout that you gave, I did it yellow on purpose so it would keep you awake after lunch, right? It was between that and buff. I think yellow will do the job, right? And then what we're going to do is, if you notice, under the word true, you'll see three sections there. Before we get started, that whole story there is out of Daniel chapter 3. I did not label it on purpose because I wanted you to write it, because research says when you write something, you will remember it. So I want you to write down Daniel chapter 3. This is the New Living Translation version, so it's not the King James or the New King James. For the purposes of today, I felt the NLT would be our best help. And then what we're going to do is, there's three sections under the word true. So section one, you're going to read section one. Section two, you're going to read the second one, and then it'll go to three. Then it'll come back to section one for honest and immovable. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay. I really color-coded. Don't you like my little colors? Because research said color triggers, so yes. And then noble, it will be this middle section, and then knowledge, you will end us up section three with knowledge. Amen? Amen. So ladies, let's honor God's word. Let's all stand. If you are not physically able to stand, God knows your heart. Don't worry. Yes. So I'm going to go to section one, and we're going to see how unified we all each section is. Okay, so starting from verse one, right? King Nebuchadnezzar. That's how you say that. Oh, and then I'm sorry. Everybody say Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Shadrach.
Shadrach.
Meshach.
Meshach.
Abednego.
Abednego.
Any other names in there? I'm just going to trust the Spirit's going to flow through you. Okay, so section one.
Made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and
set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messengers to the high officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue.
You're doing great. Stay together. And stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up.
Then the herald shouted out, "People of all races, nations, and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bow to the ground and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up."
Section 2, verse 8.
Didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar
Father, we thank you for your word. We stand in awe, not just of your word, but who you are, the power of you that overpowers any power we think in our minds is more strong. God, would you correct our thinking? Speak to us now. God, thank you for the richness of your word that we have received all day long. God, may this not be any less. We ask that you would speak to us. There are some of us in this room, God, where we're looking for a word. Would you give it to us? In Jesus' name we pray, and we all agree by saying amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. You may be seated. I saw some of your faces. It looks like you do readings because you got all into it. Like when you said shout, you were shouting. It was really cute. Isn't that fun? I wanted to just make sure that you kind of, I'm going to walk you through the colors. It means something. Yeah, it's not because I just like color, which I actually do. So what I did was I took the theme of today, the Philippians 4, 8, and 9, which I believe our speakers before have done an excellent job of walking us through, and I layered it on top of an Old Testament story. Now, I have to tell you this. This Old Testament story really spoke to me. My son and I read the same one-year Bible. I have read this one-year Bible for the last 15 years, and I think my husband is getting a little bit tired of me when I come in and say, I know I read this story before. How did I miss this? You know, it's just every year you go through the word, you never read everything. But this story really stuck out to me, and we're going to get there. I was really excited. So because we have already talked about the thinking and the mind and talking about the soundness of mind, that the fear and the anger and the bitterness, and we went through all that. I love the testimony how we were given a word here. I have a note. Just give me 1 minute. We have a choice of what kind of vessel we will be, as Abigail just told us through that. And I want us to look at this, and I am going to inform us. I do want to say this, that I am, as Stephanie says, that's her thing. She's slow. I am very, how do I say this? Sometimes I get so enveloped in a text that I have to sit up and go, oh, that's what the world looks like. So I really love this story, and I love the layers that we're going to go through. So when we take a look at this, the color code here, if you take a look at the red, there's four characters I want you to look at: King Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these are four characters. I put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what's relevant to them in blue. You saw that? Isn't that pretty? And then King Nebuchadnezzar is in red, and everything that pertains to him that's important, I put it in red. If you were to look at this, okay, not you. If I were to look at this all in black, I'd say, okay, that's cool. That's a story in the Bible. Fold it up, stick it in my bag. But not until we lift it up and you see certain things in the text, that's kind of why I had that color and I wanted to highlight that for you. All of these words you're going to see, the title of the message this afternoon is Think. And I want to talk to us as Christian women about that concept of think. I want us to be picky about what we allow into our minds. I don't want something that someone said or something on social media, just because it's a famous person that everybody loves, just because that's what they say, we want to align it with God's word. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I have been doing that little meme that goes like that to some of the stuff I'm reading. And so we really have to be in tune with God's word and using God's word, and that has to be our final authority. My husband and I were raised Psalm 1 in Southern California. Well, he was born there. I was raised Psalm 1 in Southern California. There are certain things about our culture that still affect my thinking. So I always have to say, okay, this is the way the Psalm 1s do it. This is the way God says to do it. Diana has to choose God. Every single time. This is the way my education trained my mind. This is the way my job trains my mind. This is the way I was raised to do ministry, but this is what God's word says. God's word has to be the authority. That has to be the choice. So when we choose what kind of vessel we're going to be, when we talk about having a sound mind, when we're talking about the treasure of peace, when we're talking about, I think one of the verses that we used at the last message was about seven times purifying, right? From Psalms, I think it was. Seven is the number of completion, completely transforming and renewing our mind. So let me just give you this. If you are thinking the same way about something that the word of God speaks upon, then you have not renewed your mind. Our mind has to change every single, you should not be the same thinker that you were yesterday, because you had your time in God's word today. I'm gonna tell you right now, there shouldn't be every time that you look in God's word that there is something that God said, oh yeah, I got that, God. I don't need help with that. If that's the case, you're already not starting with the right thinking. You have to go into God's word with the mindset of, there is something wrong with Diana. I am going to go to the word of God and he will show me. And then I am going to decide to change it. That's where the rubber meets the road. So as we go through the word today, what I wanted to do is I want to speak to your mind. I want us as women to start utilizing God's word. And I'm going to tell you, I am the biggest chicken of all. I would just hide behind my husband. In fact, my prayer for a husband was, somebody mentioned a prayer, was, God, can you make him buff and tall so no matter how fat I get, I'm good? I'll just look right. And I could still wear my heels. And God gave, oh, and could he cook really good Psalm 1 food? And he does. He gave me all three. God, I just love it. So all that to say is, when we take a look at our minds and how we think, we have to make sure that it's aligned with God's word. And how are you going to know what that is? Well, you have to know God's word. You have to go to God's word. Yes, your pastor teaches you. Yes, you go to the Bible study. But you have to sit down every day in God's word and say, God, speak to me. This story was one that spoke to me that day. I played it on my Bible. I'm in 80 minutes of traffic every day. And I heard that thing over and over. It got me riled up in that car. I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, you wait. You know, you get to the point where you're all into the story. You're, okay, so now you're going to watch God. You're going to see what God is going to do. I got so empowered in my car. And I was in my car, you know, in traffic. And just listening to the word of God and how it is so powerful. So let's take a look at this. What I want us to look at is the word think. That's how we're going to guide our time this afternoon. So the word, the letter T there stands for true. And what I did was I just stuck a little reminder of what it means according to this message. So the word think, the T is for true, and it's reality of life without God. Now I want you to notice in the part that section one read so beautifully is that King Nebuchadnezzar made a statue. He called everybody over there and said, everybody's going to come. We're all going to come. When you hear the music, everybody's going to bow and worship me. That's the world. So don't be shocked when people in the world do things like, you go, oh my goodness. No, you should do that when a Christian does it. When the world does it, that is their reality without God. Don't put our rules onto non-believers. We need to look at the house of God, right? This is the world the way it is. They want to be acknowledged. They want the accolades, and they want their accomplishments to be out there. Now, that's us, too. Think about it. When was the last time you did something at your church and no one noticed, and then, you know, you keep doing it, keep doing it, nobody noticed, and then all of a sudden a word comes out. You go, oh, where did that come from? Girl, you were hurt. There was pain down there somewhere. Somebody didn't acknowledge, and, you know, whether, and even if it never came out of your mouth, if you thought it, it's already there. Acknowledgments, accolades. Do you want people to notice what you're doing and then praise you for what you're doing? Now, obviously, in a gathering like this, we're going to say, well, no, not really. And I'm just going to go back to this saying that I think has become my saying is, the highest ambition for us as Christian women is to be the best bond slave of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to tell you this. So when people call me names, I've been called sissy, like goofy, weird, things like that at work. You know, I'm called other things. But the question is to me is, how do I know what's in here until I'm treated like one? When you walk into a gathering and you think you're supposed to be acknowledged and then you're not, are you hurt? Well, how would a slave be taught? I mean, how would a slave be treated, right? But this is the great thing. I love being a slave of Jesus because he's such a great master. He's such a great king. He takes us from a nothing and he makes us look like, you know, like we know what we're talking about. That's what he does. And so what I'm saying is when you look at this T for truth, this first portion of this story tells us what it's like. This is the reality of the world. They're going to build buildings with their names. They're going to have VIP sections for stuff. For us as Christians, that's not our style. We just come in, go out. If they do acknowledge you, that's great. God bless you, you know, praise the Lord. But this is the reality of life without God. Not just King Nebuchadnezzar, but as us as well. We just want to make sure that we're checking ourselves. Go now to verse 8, section 2 there. And then I want you to notice what's underlined. But some of the astrologers. Now notice it's astrologers. These are not believers. We're still in the world. The way that they are going to respond to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not bowing, of course they're going to go tell. Right? You stand up for the Bible on social media, oh, you're going to get some hits, right? And that's okay, because obviously the world does not understand our mindset. They don't understand why we do what we do and why we do what we do. They don't understand why you're at church all the time and you're not getting paid and you're going to go early on a Saturday morning to clean it. They don't understand why you keep going to church to hear the pastor and the worship. They don't understand why you go to missions trips and you support yourself. And all of that. They have no idea why we have a passion. They don't even know why you read the Bible every day. It's supposed to be just a pretty book that's put on top of a table in your house that looks really pretty. Why are you opening? Oh, you're opening it? Oh, and then you're writing in it? Oh, and now you're quoting it to me? And now I see you actually doing it at our family meeting? What is that about? So when you take a look at these astrologers that went and told on these three, that's normal. Don't expect the world to come along and say, praise the Lord. They're not going to do that. It's not even, it's like you're asking a cat to bark. Not possible. Right? So we have to make sure that our minds are aligned correctly. So then you take a look at the opposition and it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you see the blue there? And then it says, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. Now that cracked me up because Nebuchadnezzar is not a godly king. He's not a Christian. But he chose these three to govern. So they work in the public sector. Oh, I'm sorry, Christians can work in the public sector? Yes, you're looking at one. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3, I'm just going to read it to you, verse 1. It tells us why they're there. You could just jot it down. I'll read it to you. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim, and then they take the children of God out. And then verse 2 says, the Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered his chief of staff to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. He said this is the criteria. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. These men were not stupid. These men were gifted. And if you keep reading, God gifted them with that ability. So these men are public sector employees, and they are Christians. Oh no, they could do that? There are so many Christians today who say, Christians can't work in the public school system. Christians can't work in the court system. Now, they're not going to say it like that, but in their mindset, not everybody needs to work at the church. I have never been paid by the church. My husband has been on Calvary Chapel South Bay's payroll for over 20 years, and he started his church, and I'm still a volunteer at Lifted. I will never be paid by the church. It's just not my thing. I want to know what it's like to have a job and work and serve God's people so I understand the heartaches of a woman and I understand what it's like. I don't know how I got there, but let me get back to this. So when you go there, you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom Nebuchadnezzar had put in a leadership position in the public sector. Now go to the next one. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and he ordered them to be brought. So when they brought him, right? I do have to give Nebuchadnezzar credit. He did not just go by what the astrologer said. He wanted to hear it for himself. I'll give him the credit for that, right? He said, is it true that when they play the music, you're not bowing down to me? That just sounds really funny. And then go to honest and immovable. H and I is honest and immovable. Fully persuaded of the truth. This is what they say. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. And then he goes on and on and on. But I want you to go in verse 17 at the end. They still call him your majesty. Christians are still respectful, even when they were called on the carpet. And he says, but even if our God does not rescue us. Let me say that again. But even if he doesn't, if my God does not rescue us, we want to just make this clear. We're not going to bow. So let me bring that to today, right? Even if God does not rescue us from the politics of today, even if God does not rescue us from all of the hate and injustice and violence and all of that stuff going on, even if God leaves us here in California and it drops to the water, even if, but you put your even if in there. I am not going to bow to what this world tells me to do aside from what God's word tells me to do. We have to think that, ladies. You have to think that. Why? Because there are people, and we'll see at the end. See, I'm getting all excited about the story. Because we have to make sure that we know that even if God doesn't show up, is God not good? I hear people say, I was like, oh, God is good all the time, except when I get annoyed, right? Except when I don't get my way. Yeah, no, God is good all the time. Then the N is for noble. And then it says that he was so furious that his face became distorted. It affected this king physically. That's how mad he was. You're not going to worship me. What? Everybody worships me. That's the world's mentality. But ladies, we have to be careful. We don't have it. What do you mean you don't think I'm a good mom? Of course I'm a good mom. His face was distorted with rage. And it said that he asked them to turn up the heat 7 times hotter than usual. So much so that the men who threw them in were killed because it was so hot. Now go to K, knowledge. King Nebuchadnezzar, then it says in verse 24, he jumped up in amazement. This is his reaction to them being thrown into the fire. And he said, didn't we tie up 3? And now there's 4? So he, in his anger, ungodly, distorted, I don't know what kind of face he had at this point, can see that there was something divine happening. There's hope for our unsaved family and friends. They notice the divine when they see it. But why don't they see it? Because we aren't standing true to what God is saying. We keep moving. Stop moving. Stay put. Stay with the word of God. And then it says that he shouted. And going to here, I want us to go to verse 27. Nothing. The fire had not touched them. Can you all read that with me? Because I like the way you read it. Whatever section read that. The fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. They stood for the truth, and this is what happened. They weren't affected by the world, nor what they had coming their way. And then what happens? The king then turns, and he says, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says it himself. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. So many times we don't stay put in the word. Things happen in our family, and then we say, oh, we're okay, you're right. You're right. I'll just come. And then what happens? I was telling someone just this week, my youngest brother, he and his wife are expecting baby number 4. I was rushing into church, and I was coming in, and he called me. He goes, Nana, that's what my brother calls me. Nana, we're expecting a baby. I go, oh, my gosh, Nati, that's great. I'm so glad. I wish Mommy and Daddy could see how grown up you've become and not spoiled. And and then after church, he calls me back, and he doesn't usually do that, and he says, the amniotic fluid is leaking. We don't know. So they gave us a choice. Either we terminate or we wait. So we are praying that it stops, right? And you ladies understand what I'm saying. My point in saying that is I never move from my walk. My brother has so many friends, and yet he called me first. My brother's not necessarily walking with the Lord. I can't say that, but he knew who to call. Do people know to call you? Are you going to move, ladies? So with this story, I just wanted us to look at the true reality of the world we live in, right? The honest and immovable confirmation in our hearts that we are not to move. Even if my God does not rescue me from that law or policy or what you just told me I have to do at work, I'm never going to bow down to your way of thinking. I'm going to keep my mind, the mind of Christ. And then noble, having or showing high moral principles, they were looking at that fire and they still didn't cave. We look at a post and it gets us all crazy. They were looking at fire, heated 7 times as hot, and they were still willing to stand for the Lord Jesus because they trusted in him. And then the knowledge, the other opposing side, they're going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus because we're not moving. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you for your word, God. Pray that you would just kind of just absorb, just allow us to absorb everything from today. God, there's so many things in our lives, and life gets so tough, but you're so good. And before I just close out, if you're sitting there going, man, Diana, you just don't know what I face. You don't know the battle in my mind and what I go through every day mentally. You're right, I don't. But I do know that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is alive and well. If that's you, could you just slip up your hand? I just want to pray for you as we close. If that's you, I see that hand. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. You could just put it up and put it down. God bless you. God bless you. It's not a sin for Christians to need help mentally. That's why God says, don't be afraid. That's why we have the mind of Christ. God bless all of your hands. God bless you. 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 And if you're sitting there and you haven't raised your hand and you want to, you just raise your hand just anytime before I end my prayer. God, we thank you for this. Would you flush in your word and flush out the lies? Would you flush in your word and flush out the lies? Everything that is not you, God, in our minds, would you just change it? We give you permission to transform our minds. Give us a hunger to get into your word. I can't wait to hear what my God says to me today. Give us that attitude. And we can't wait to curl up and get into our word and just hear your voice. If we want to hear your voice, just help us to read the word out loud. But God, we thank you so much for your word that aligns our mind and our thinking. Renew our minds every day that this won't be us next year at this conference. And so, God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we all agreed by saying, amen.